Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, we're talking about Star Wars Celebration. Yeah, it's a thing. Let's do it right about now. It fades out, and now you hear Riley's voice. Hey, guys, it's back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm literally just playing... This is the most roguish setup we've ever had for the podcast. I'm once again sitting in the household of one Bruce Walker Gibson. How are we doing, Bruce? Is that your middle name?
No, but...
is that... No, that's not a thing.
I have an uncle by that last name, Walker.
No, cool. Hey, man. Welcome back to the show.
So we're going to talk about Celebration.
We are going to talk about Celebration.
Are there any podcasts out there that are not talking about Celebration?
I feel like there's a dearth of Celebration conversation in the Star Wars podcasting universe. And we're here for you. We're here to fill that void, ladies and gentlemen.
There is a void.
And suddenly, the music just stopped as it was like,
so
and it's go time
right now.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at my recorder here.
No, my recorder.
Well,
you just happen to.
That's true.
It.
That is very true. We are recording on Bruce's recorder. Something that Riley, I thought, if you'd asked me 72 hours ago, I would never touch one of these things again, but that's a separate story, that three people can get listening to this. No, we're back. I'm Riley Blanton, the host of the Star Wars Report podcast. If you've jumped on board and you're wondering what this shenanigans is, well, you're in for a treat. It's just about the most hectic hour of Star Wars podcasting. Usually I say just about the most fun. I just promise hectic. We're going to try to recapture the craziness of Star Wars Celebration. Orlando 2017. We got a great Bruce, you've again, as always, props to you, sir. You've put together some great notes on what happened at the event so that we can actually figure out what happened at the event.
I did put some notes together, even though I don't have them in front of me, so you have to go.
All right, well, hang on. I gotta pull this thing up. Yeah, man. Celebration was a thing. What was so seriously, big takeaways right up front. I don't, because I we're going to go through the notes. There's Last Jedi, there's all this kind of stuff. But it was a big freaking deal for us, this celebration.
Why was this one such a big deal compared to others?
This is a regular old John Boyega. This is a regular old big deal of a show. Because we were doing stuff here, real stuff. Not just podcasting and uploading it, or doing a little renegade recording somewhere, not doing a joint show with anybody else. We literally had our own podcast that was a part of the official programming.
Yes. That was actually
how crazy
in
is that?
The schedule of events.
I know.
When you go into the Star Wars Celebration app, there it was.
I know. It's Star Wars Report.
Star Wars Report.
I know, man. It was.
It said with Riley Blanton and other people.
Wait, did it?
No, I was going to say. No,
I don't think it had any description at all whatsoever. As Riley, a fun behind the scenes fact, Riley just pulled up his Google Docs and just realized that literally the show notes are buried under 17 school assignments that I should be working on right now at the bottom.
This will be a short show.
Yeah, I was going to say in 15 minutes. Yeah, well, guys, that was Celebration. Riley's going to write a paper. No, this is my escape, guys. No, this is episode 278. It is. By the way, May 4th is coming up. We're coming up on the end of the school year. Riley's about to graduate. We're about to move on to the big bad world. Star Wars season's kind of coming up, and man, it was crazy. Let's just start with the stuff we did, because we'll just be selfish that way. Because that was kind of, I was talking to you before we started the podcast. That was the tough thing about the celebration, was all the things that we were trying to run and events that we wanted to do for the Star Wars Report specifically, which turned out to be way more than I thought. And then everyone who came in at the last minute to help at the end made it way better than the nightmare I thought it might be.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that were willing to help and hand things out and help with audio and
yes.
get things set up. This celebration was very different for me compared
yes.
to the others. Because
that's the big, yeah.
Well, because Anaheim, it was the first time I went to Celebration, and I had no association with the show whatsoever except as a listener. And, of course,
I don't remember how many times, but the one time I remember running into you at Celebration Anaheim,
yeah.
which, by the way, just it feels like yesterday, and then here we are. was like at a food truck outside the convention center.
Yes.
And I saw you because you were wearing a Star Wars Report shirt.
I was. And I was at food trucks quite often because that was one of the highlights of Anaheim for me. It was the food truck.
The food truck lane, man. You know, there were, we're going to talk about it. There were a lot of complaints about the organization of Celebration Orlando. Probably the greatest thing that we're missing was the food trucks.
I was hoping they would have food trucks, but they didn't. They had vendors throughout the convention center, which was more convenient. But yeah, I could have really gone for some food trucks. But yeah, Celebration Anaheim, I was on my own. So I was just kind of walking around doing my own thing. But this was different because now I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because you're right. Because
we're there.
And it wasn't just that, but now I have a whole community of friends that I didn't have before at Anaheim.
Yeah.
And some of the friends I have are ones I met in Anaheim. So now it's like, mm-hmm. you know, coordinating with, you know, fellow friends and listeners and with this show and what we're trying to do. There was a lot going on.
Yeah. No, it was the big things for us that we did was the show and the dinner. The dinner. I love the fact that this just came up out of nowhere. It's literally Joe on a Patreon call was like, we should just get dinner somewhere. How about the Cafe Tushu Tango? When I was thinking, like, where do we do a meetup? I was thinking about, like, all the logistics of it. So I was like, let's just go get dinner. And then so many of you guys showed up. It was amazing. All these great folks RSVP'd. I met Devin. I met Red 5 Mom.
Yes.
I met Daniel. I met so many people that I will forget their name. Fun fact. I'll just kick off our celebration recap with this. So Riley's an idiot. We've established this many times on the podcast.
Okay.
Riley double booked himself and didn't realize it for 2 straight weeks. I got asked to be part of this podcasting panel, and I was, of course, very honored. It was Andy, a.k.a. Canadian Fanboy, put together this How to Podcast Like a Jedi Master panel. And it was for Friday. It was going to be towards the end of the day. I was like, sure, that sounds great. Totally forgetting that I had started 2 weeks ago.
This is why people have to work through me. Because I would have been able to quickly point out that there was a conflict, that there was an overlap. Because now I'm glad you said that. Because I kept thinking, like, why did you accept this if you knew we had the dinner? You didn't realize
it
at the time.
I didn't realize
it. That makes sense now.
And then I was committed, and I was like, so of course you know me. I'm like, I'm not going to sacrifice. Obviously, if I had to sacrifice one, I'd have to sacrifice the panel. Because, of course, we'd planned the dinner. So many of you guys listening came. But at the same time, I was like, man, this is a big deal. I was one of the few people he asked. I'd already said yes. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just like walk the line. I'm going to go to the panel. I'm going to bust out early. Then I'm going to make a mad dash the three quarter miles to the Cafe Tutu Tango, and I'll be fine.
How did you get there? Did you take a cab?
So funny you should ask.
Oh, man. Because you got there right at 5:30. I was surprised
by that. I
got
there on the nose.
Yes, you
and
did.
There's only one reason I was, because BJ, who listens to the show, is one of our newest patrons. So shout out to BJ. Was at the panel and he knew I'd be there. And so we're doing our thing. We're talking podcasting. It was a pretty good panel. Of course, you know, podcasters, we're all very opinionated. So like some people were saying, I totally disagree with that. And then I was saying stuff and then Steele was like, no, you're totally wrong. But towards the end, we started talking about building your community and then tools like Patreon or t-shirts and ways to help monetize and make your show grow financially and be able to support yourself and all the costs associated. And so I was like, this is the perfect time. So I'm like, yep, everybody, Patreon's great. And speaking of which, people who actually support me are waiting for me. So long. Peace out. And I did
that
this
was
like
a perfect segue.
I was ready. I was just waiting for Patreon to come up because I was waiting for the segue. I bolt out of there with our friend Gio. He was there. Awesome dude. Gio, by the way, he was at – not at New York, but he was at we went to Panama City and he was at Dragon Con.
Yes.
Gio's the man. Like, we're about to put out a ton of amazing photos that are all Gio, who's hanging out with us throughout the weekend. So we're there. And I'm like, Gio, we got to go. We're going to go down the escalators and we're going to grab an Uber. Now, of course, I'm freaking out because before I was thinking, oh, you just jump on your phone. Hail the Uber, and then by the time you get down the escalator and out, usually there's one. It's a major city. It's a big convention center.
Right.
Uber's going to be fine.
No.
Uber was terrible the entire weekend.
It was terrible because I I went into Uber to get a ride at 4:45. Mm-hmm. Now, the restaurant is like a 5-minute drive up the road.
Yeah. It's like
I got there
the
at like 10 after 5 because my Uber driver never showed up. I just kept watching him on the map going round and round.
I know.
I text him, and he says, I told him, this is where I am at the pickup place at the convention where all the cabs and everything. And he texts me back, okay. And he still was just like,
traffic was awful.
He was just driving around. And finally, I called him and I got his voicemail. He never called me back. And so I had to cancel it. And then I found a taxi cab, gotten that. And so,
I knew this because this had happened to me Thursday, and I was thinking, oh man, it's going to be awful getting over there. I'm going to be even later. I was thinking 5:30, people kind of show up and hang out around 5. We'll be fine. 5:30, you know, the dinner will kind of start around then. I'll show up then, but that's okay. You know, Bruce and Bethany are going to get there ahead of time. Everybody's going to be great. Literally nobody got there ahead of time. More on that in a moment. But as I'm bolting to the escalator, a tap on my left shoulder. And this guy's there. I was like, hey, BJ. I'm BJ. Listen to the show. Hey, can I treat you to a cab ride over to the restaurant?
Nice.
And like, I knew that cabs are always waiting right outside the convention
right.
center. It'd be immediate. In we hopped. And we had a great time just kind of chatting and catching up. And we were over there right on time. It was amazing. So thanks, BJ. I appreciate that.
Yes,
and
thank you, BJ, because this is unusual.
yeah, no, you're not.
I really didn't think you were going to make it at 5:30. But you walked in. I remember looking at my watch or my iPhone, and it said 5:30.
Yeah, no. It would have been like 6.
I mean, you got there just like minutes after Bethany did.
Exactly. Who also got there late. So like, I was getting the text of people like, still can't get there. I was kind of freaking out a little bit inside because it was important. I wanted it to run smoothly. I was afraid people were just going to be showing up. They wouldn't know where to sit down. People might go to different parts of the restaurant. We'd done the whole thing with the reservations. And I was just, you know, there's that kind of thing. It was the time for the Star Wars Report to get together, have a great time. And it wasn't going well. And when things don't go to the way I love to plan, and when things aren't going according to the plan, I'm not a fan.
Well, because we also ran into the situation where Bethany and I had to meet at 4:30 because that's when they were handing out our passes.
That was a big thing.
For the Rebels panel.
Guys,
so now it was like, oh my gosh, we have to be there at 4:30, but dinner's at 5. And Bethany's like, I still have to get to the hotel. I have to grab the recorders, the equipment, whatever, you know, all this other stuff. And so I was like, fine, you go to the hotel and do that now. I'll catch Uber, go straight to the restaurants and get there a few minutes early, which of course now you know that didn't happen and why.
So,
but it all worked out because once I arrived, people were sitting there, food was already coming out.
Which was like, I was surprised, like why everyone has a table, it's all in the right section of the restaurant, people are already kind of together having conversations, different people are sitting together.
I heard there was a certain gentleman that
and
put
I was
that together.
Like, what happened here? Only upon after the dinner did I hear who was there early and who did take command of the situation and corral people and make sure everything ran smoothly. And that is the one and only host of my Star Wars story, Scott freaking Rifen.
He knows us well enough to know that he had to get there and babysit this.
I know. It's so true. It is so true. Scott's the man. Scott, thank you. There's so many people to thank. Like, I met so many of the patrons. I met Jeff. It was great. I got to catch up with everybody.
And my brother-in-law was there, too.
Yes?
With
what do you think of this whole thing?
Seems like he thinks it's pretty cool.
Nice.
I guess. He had so much fun. He was only going to be there for the day. He showed up again the next day to Celebration because he had so much fun.
Nice. Yeah, it was awesome. Everyone got together. We went to we got food. We actually did a little recording. I don't have it on me, so it'll be published probably in next week's episode. But we did a little recording there just to kind of thank people and take some time to recognize everybody who supported us. And seriously, it was a great proof of concept because you know me, I'm like, I'm either feeling really good about all of this podcasty stuff, like, this is great, we're so good, this is going to go great, we've got all this amazing content, all this great interviews, it's going to be amazing, or, Bruce, is anybody going to show up? No one's going to show up, are they? No one's going to show up. So it was like some, but no, you guys came out, it was a great time. And that was Friday, so that was like Last Jedi Day, too, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So that's a very specific – here's the thing.
More people would have shown up if Mark Hamill didn't do the Carrie Fisher tribute.
It overlapped with the Carrie Fisher tribute, and we still had right around 50 people show up in the whole corner of the restaurant. We got the people mad at us for being too loud during the recording. I don't know if you noticed that. I got the tap on my shoulder during the recording, And I was like, "Why?" My friend Bailey was like turning it down. I was like, "What's going on?" And he came over to me. He was like, "Yeah, they're being a little."
Oh no! Yeah, they didn't get mad. The manager came up to me and Bailey, and she was like, "I don't know who to talk to. They told me you," and she was referring to me. But Bailey was staying there, and she's like, "You know, we just need to turn it down. It's fine. We like that you guys are doing this. Just turn it down just a little more." And that's all it was. I mean, yeah. She was cool about it.
Yeah. So we started cranking the tunes, man. That's right when we know. No, that was awesome. And that just kind of speaks to the whole experience. Because it's a very it's interesting, funny that we start our celebration podcast recap with we're not here talking about the new trailer or Star Wars or the episode of Star Wars Rebels we saw.
No, but
or any of that. Because that's
not what celebration's all about.
No, not when you're there.
Right.
Like
it's the experience of being around people and all the experiences that you go through while you're there.
No.
Even if things don't work out the way you want them to work out, you're still
which
having
they
a
never
great
do.
Time. Right.
Which they never do. But let's actually – so I feel like – I don't know. Sometimes I feel guilty about we were being really self-indulgent there. But that was our story. That was our experience, was just seeing and meeting so many of you guys.
Is that your Star Wars story?
I should do like a podcast about that. But Star Wars Celebration Orlando, it was the biggest one yet. According to the official release from StarWars.com, more than 70,000 people attended. The hallmark was – The Last Jedi? Well, really, the hallmark, and we'll kind of go through them in no particular order, but I think we should really just hit the main events. The hallmark for me was the 40th anniversary panel.
Same here. Yeah.
I don't think that was just us because we were there. I think it was really by virtue of the fact that as a big a deal as The Last Jedi is, it's not Star Wars returning after everyone thinking it's dead like The Force Awakens was, but it was the... What's the word I'm looking for? It was almost the first one that word that came to my mind was the mummification of George Lucas, but that puts it in a very negative context. Right. But really, seriously, it's like George Lucas acknowledged and preserved as the iconic founder of the franchise, in a way that it was just basically cementing the fact that we're not forgetting this guy. Things have changed, the stories will change, the styles changed. But that doesn't mean that we aren't going to acknowledge him. And he seemed to legitimately appreciate the fans there. He felt the love in the room. And just the fact that Harrison Ford, you know, freaking showed up last minute, surprised everybody.
Didn't surprise me. I've been calling that one for months.
Exactly. To be fair. In fact, I heard rumblings like in the days before. And I was like, the second I heard the rumblings, like, oh, Bruce, I think you're right. Cause you've been on this thing for a while.
yeah, no Harrison. Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the things I think the 40th anniversary panel kind of overshadowed the Last Jedi panel because there were so many surprises. We didn't know George Lucas was going to be there, even though, you know, there's some rumors and things you really don't know. And I really don't know that Harrison Ford's going to be there. And I don't know anybody who knew, in our circle at least, that knew John Williams was going to show up with an orchestra.
That was a surprise to everybody.
I mean, so there are a lot of surprises. With The Last Jedi, there really weren't any surprises. I think we
at
figured
all.
That, you know, Daisy and John, you know, like they would come, you know, with some of the cast would be there.
Yeah.
And we were going to see a trailer. So, I mean, we got what we expected, but the 40th was above what we expected.
Yeah. Well, and the 40th, I think, fit this probably isn't the case online. I'm sure online it was like, you know, this the last of the Jedi, you know, the Jedi you need to end. That was the big takeaway. But like there, and it was more of an expression of what Celebration is about. It was a celebration of Star Wars, and it was basically sort of a swan song of sorts, I think, for George Lucas and Harrison, and just to see everybody. And then a beautiful, absolutely beautiful Carrie Fisher tribute that was just amazing. They had this incredible poster they handed out afterwards, too.
Yeah. And Billy Lord, her daughter, was there to do the tribute. So that she did a great job with that.
Definitely. And I'm not – usually it's interesting because for me – I'm not like a big emotional guy when it comes to trailers or the content or like new promo content stuff. Like a lot of people, the story of the Force Awakens trailer, like Chewie, we're home. Like I looked around me and like there was barely a dry eye around. Everyone's
that was
weeping.
The ultimate moment for me.
Yeah, and like for me, I just kind of sat there stunned. But for me, but the real, the real and raw nature of the Carrie Fisher tribute when the video played. I was just at the end of it. I was like a little teary-eyed. I was like, oh, because it felt like a proper. We had had time to process it, but it was a recognition of what what Carrie put into Leia. Because I think, and I'll be brutally honest. I think so much of what Princess Leia's popularity is and her mark in popular culture as a character is a reflection of Carrie Fisher's tenacity. And most people don't really know that or think about that. To most people, even big Star Wars fans who would go to the convention, we don't know Carrie Fisher. If you've been to her panels, you kind of know her shtick. But right. That's different than actually seeing it sort of recognized over a whole career of like, this is actually like something that she really injected into the character. So like, that's what got to me at the end of the panel there.
Yeah, it didn't get to me as much because I was still struggling with the fact that I was not in the same room. That I was in an overflow room. And I just kept thinking, like, gosh, every time something like that would come up, I would think this would be more emotional if I were in the room.
Yeah.
It was because the lines. I mean, at 7:30 the night before, the line was so long that I thought even if I got in line, probably still won't get into the main stage. Because you have a higher attendance. There's more people know about Celebration year after year. Because, I mean, when you're streaming it online, people are aware of it and say, hey,
Brought to you by Verizon.
Right. Brought to you by Verizon. Verizon brought the crowds in. And so then you've got a smaller stage venue. It only holds, I don't know, I heard different numbers, but something like 3,500 seats or something.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Which in Anaheim, it was 8,000. So you're able to see twice as many people. With less of a smaller amount of attendees. So,
and that's where they had the funky multi-stage for all the big events. Normally at Anaheim, they had overflow rooms that were really just overflow rooms. Like they would be good just to have, and some people would go there if they didn't want to wait in line a long time.
Yeah,
you were lucky. You were lucky to get an overflow room if you lined up early. At some of these panels, because what's funny is I'll address the elephant in the room. I literally spent the podcast prior to this one, or at least the one prior to the actual show at Celebration, which we put up. I literally spent that podcast talking about how much I love Reed, and Reed took a lot of crap on Twitter and online because of some really serious organizational issues. That for me, because I know some of the people there. I know what it was. It was literally the venue for the big panels and the lines for those. They just weren't prepared because in previous years, like Anaheim was what? It was like 60,000, 65.
Yeah.
And now it was over 70. So it's like an increase of like 5,000 or 6,000. But in terms of the increase of number of people willing to go wait in line early, that was like quadrupled. Yes. So normally you would be like, I'll be totally honest. People would be worried and queue up overnight. But for me, I've always recognized that as like the thing you do because you're a Star Wars fan. It's a big party atmosphere, and you would have like 500, maybe 1,000 people who are willing to go camp out overnight in a queue line. And then early in the morning, you'd have more and more people trickle in, and then the crowds would start to come at like 6, 7, and 8 a.m. Right here, it was overnight. Like, and it was just the way the venue worked. There were a lot of Paul DiPaola just did a blog post on his Celebration experience, which you can check out at StarWarsReport.com. And he detailed a little graphic, an aerial graphic of the way that they organized the line. That I think someone, I don't know if he did it or if he pulled it offline, that someone did of the multi loops around that were going on in the evening of Thursday. Mm-hmm. This is like 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening as the loop started to form, and by the night when they started funneling people into the queue hall, it was like looped all around in this weird snake like thing around the convention. I just felt terrible. It was really unfortunate. A lot of stuff, a lot of line cutting happened, and there was a lot of people who waited overnight and didn't even get in the main room. It was just a lot of that. That really does hurt your experience organizationally, and that was kind of a shame. But
I'm gonna guess that the lines are so much longer earlier. For two reasons. One, I think word was getting around that the venue where the live stage was going to seat less people.
Yeah.
Because I already heard that before I even saw the line outside. And then two, they closed the doors at midnight. You can't go back in until 5 a.m. So like when I was in Anaheim, I showed up around 3:30 and I just walked in to the convention center and got in line. Well, now it's like you're either going to get there early or you're going to get there later. There is no in between. So it's like if you typically were going to show up at 2 or 3 in the morning, you can't do that. You have to show up before midnight. So everybody's showing up earlier to get in the doors before they close them.
Yeah.
And then the whole cutting in line. That was a problem.
I was hearing a lot of that because here's what would happen. So and again, not to, I don't want to dwell on it too much because it's a small, I don't know, it is a, it for those of who those of the that waited over line, it's awful. But like here's literally what happened. They closed down the night before, funnel people into the queue hall indoors so they wouldn't be waiting on the sidewalk outside, which is a good concept and idea. However, they wouldn't give wristbands out during the night or even at the beginning of the morning. They opened up the building back up at 5 a.m. They handed out wristbands at 6 a.m. And in that 1 hour, a lot of friends, a lot of cousin Joey, just like sneak in past during that hour and get through security and then just kind of go cut in line.
Yeah, because you'd have somebody who spent the night and says, to their friends, come on over here. Yeah,
exactly.
Come, then you can be up here with me. I spent the night on behalf of all of us.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because now all of a sudden you're just adding more and more people that are cutting in that line. And that's not good. They have to somehow work that out. But, I don't really blame Reed Pop that much. I know a lot of people were going on. I don't know all the circumstances, but we did hear from someone that we know that works volunteer that a good many volunteers never showed up.
And that would be why it's hard to prevent the cutting and that sort of thing. Exactly, exactly.
Because I remember in London seeing a lot more people working that area.
Yes. Definitely.
It was like everywhere you look, there was some, volunteer or what, Reed Pop employee or whatever working that whole hall. And this time I was seeing a lot less.
Yeah. So that was a thing. And that led up to the kind of the Last Jedi panel itself, which was awesome, which we did get to see. We did get to see in the room. Bethany and I did. And it was incredible. But my takeaway was even being in the room, there just wasn't that much revealed.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the trailer, and the trailer...
That's pretty much it.
We saw some photos, a few.
Not many.
We don't even need to see... Yeah, we saw in like the behind-the-scenes photos that Rian Johnson took. Those are pretty cool. And we got introduced to Rose, Kelly Marie Tran's character, who seems really cool. She's like this mechanic, so it's kind of a different... subgroup in terms of a profession that maybe we've seen smugglers, we've seen Jedi and old wizards and pilots, but this is kind of this is the Battlestar Galactica. Like, I couldn't help but think like this is the chief, or something like that. So I was pretty excited about that. What else did we see in that? What were there any other big reveals? The big takeaway everyone was talking about is like, this whole Jedi thing ain't working out so well. I'm paraphrasing. we gotta end it.
That's the biggest takeaway right there, and I'm so pleased to hear about that. And I mentioned it during our podcast show, which you released as the previous episode, so I won't go too much into it. But I like the fact that we're just advancing the story in some manner to say that maybe there's something different and something more beyond what we've known as being Jedi or even Sith. I mean, you don't want to just play these movies out and it's just Jedi and Sith all the time. So it's nice to go into something different.
Hey. Oh, God.
Like every trailer now does that.
Everyone, isn't it so true?
Even the beginning of Rogue One.
Actually, no. They didn't have the little tinkly piano, though.
No.
You notice that? That was a change. But they did... And they have the Rey theme.
Breathe.
Meanwhile, everyone in the theater is just like...
It's Lamaze class.
Just breathe.
So good. We get a great glimpse of just like some montage shots of Skellig Michael and the Superman shot of the freaking like rocks going around her hand. It's great. I love the use of Rey's theme, too.
Yeah.
It really is kind of Rey's trailer.
And Kylo's.
Darkness.
And then we see the tree, the freaking forest tree. I showed you some concept art and what looks like the Journal of the Wills, whatever that is. Oh, and the one shot when the crowd really started going nuts was that shot. I know you can't You can actually come around if you want, Bruce. We can do a little breakdown. We can do a little breakdown.
If there was a video
of this, it would be like our reaction. But this was the first shot in the trailer where it pans around and you see Ray training with this distant figure. Yeah, this Christmas. And we see the freaking weird planet with the red dust, fins, and medical, all kinds of cool stuff. You know, and it cuts back to Ray's theme right towards the end. And then here's the big deal. It's the big reveal.
It's time for the Jedi to end.
The music's like, wow, wow. That is the most ominous version of the Force theme. Let's just take a listen to that again. Just if you didn't notice it the first time, that is a really like horror movie version of the Force theme. Here we go.
With the red logo.
All right, there we go. So,
ooh.
Like in the room.
Yes.
I don't, you were in the room.
You were. Let's talk about that. Unfair things
I
are.
Know. That's the other thing. Yeah. And listen, not because I literally just happened to be in the right place at the right time to get a wristband. And it's not because nobody was like, oh, the Star Wars report, you should get, you got Riley from the Star Wars, let's get this man over. No, it's literally just like,
I thought somebody recognized you.
I was like three people removed from being really lucky in like 30 minutes before. We literally resigned to not getting in. We got in line at 6 a.m., waited for 3 hours, and were in the last 200 people of the hopefuls to get an overflow seat. And we lost. It was so much fun. I wiped it from my memory. But in those few hours, especially in that 1 hour when we didn't get any wristband, the only option would have been to go to the convention. We got in line at 6 a.m. I feel like I want to repeat this a few times. Yeah. 6 a.m. and we didn't even get an overflow seat, and I was devastated.
Right, because I was ahead of you in line. You got to the convention center just minutes before I did.
Yes, and you picked the right entrance.
I went to the entrance where I just walked right in, and you waited in line. So now I'm ahead of you in the panel
line.
And
you got the overflow
for the
behind
the scenes,
wristband,
right? And you didn't, and you texted me, or no, you called me and you said,
devastated.
I don't know if you're going to go to the overflow room or just join a bunch of us and maybe go to a hotel and
watch
it.
That's literally what we're
going to
do.
I'm not going in a hotel and watch
no,
it.
I don't blame you at all, but that's literally.
And then next thing you know, like a couple hours later, hey, I'm going into the main stage. I'm like, what?
So, yeah. So I wish I could say it was some like cool prospect of someone like, oh, the Star Wars, those guys. No, it's literally
I thought it
just
was.
Lucky.
That's the story I heard.
No, it's literally not. But in the room, when that happens, it's time for the Jedi to end. I couldn't help but contrast the experience of being in Anaheim, and it's Chewie, we're home.
Right.
And, like, just the place erupted. Here, it was just a collective, you know, 3,000 people going, what? That was literally everybody was like, what did we just see? The who's ending what? When? It was amazing. I loved it. But it was totally different.
Well, and it's hard for me because I was in the room for the Force Awakens panel in Anaheim.
And I was
wasn't.
Not. I was overflow.
So we switched places. But it felt like it's a different experience when you're in the overflow room.
You have that awkward delay of the other crowd in the main room is still cheering and everyone here has stopped like 20
well, and you can
before.
Even hear things where in the main room there's an applause for something that's going on, and there's like a hesitation in the overflow room. Some people start applauding and others don't. And I even heard one person said something like, "It's not like Daisy Ridley can hear us." You know, like, why applaud if she can't hear us when she comes out? You know?
No, it's
so
true.
It's an awkwardness.
It's awkward. It's different. And here's the thing. Like, even with Anaheim, for the next celebrations, rent a stadium. Offsite. You have to go offsite. Almost no convention center is equipped to have – I mean, Anaheim was big enough, and even that would be pushing it for this convention. New York Comic Con rents out Madison Square Garden for the Walking Dead event, because the Walking Dead is insane and they'll pack it, which they did. And we, you know, I'm not a huge Walking Dead fan. I'm like seasons and seasons behind, but I enjoyed it. And a bunch of my friends were going, so like an hour before we went and lined up, and we got in on the tail end of like the very, very top seats, but we had seats. And it was like we walked for about 20 minutes, and it was fine.
Yeah,
That's what you need to do for the next celebration.
Which we don't know. All we know, it's 2 years from now. We don't know where.
So Warwick Davis was at the closing ceremonies. Were you watching? Did you?
Watching from the airport.
And we'll see you at the next celebration, wherever that may be. Thanks, Warwick.
And that's when I was sitting in the airport going, yeah, I'm glad I didn't like move my flight later.
I've talked about it. I like the closing ceremonies, but literally only as just a tradition because I've always gone and I like the video. Like, it's not a big deal that you should wait in line for or something like that.
Yeah. But now the Last Jedi panel, of course, and I mentioned it at the podcast stage, my daughter's picture was on screen. And she's even today thrilled that Daisy Ridley got to see a picture of her dressed as Rey that was taken in London.
Dude, that's so true. Because my initial reaction was, oh, Bruce is going to – this is going to be amazing for Bruce. His daughter's on the screen and he's going to show it to her. I didn't even think about the fact that she loves Rey that much and now she knows –
yeah.
The actress who portrayed Rey.
Because when we were in London at Celebration, Daisy really didn't come to the convention.
Yeah.
And she and my daughter was only there just for one day, and she kept saying, you know, I want to see Daisy Ridley. And I'm like, well, you know, again, they haven't announced she's going to be here. More likely, you're not going to see her. And, of course, then she couldn't come to this celebration.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I just want to really see Daisy Ridley. And so if talking about emotional moments, when I saw her picture up there, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I wasn't around anybody that I know. So this woman sitting next to me, I'm elbowing her. I'm like, that's my daughter up there.
That's
it. Because I felt like I had to say something to somebody.
Yeah,
and then I thought, oh, my gosh, she's going to flip out when she knows that her picture was up there and Daisy Ridley saw it and was commenting about the pictures.
Dude.
And I started tearing up at that moment because I know how thrilled she would be. And then I found out later she was at school crying and her teacher was like, are you okay?
That is amazing. Yeah, Last Jedi, it's different. The other thing that's going around, I guess, since then, it wasn't really a thing during the convention, but in the days since, I've been seeing a lot of this stuff on the Scargate, the Kylo Ren. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Yes, you seen this? So evidently, Kylo Ren's scar in the trailer, and we've got a little GIF here on a Polygon site, it's kind of different than...
It's slightly over to his right. So the he from the battle with Rey, from The Force Awakens, his scar's more in the middle of his forehead, and now, or the injury happened in the middle of his forehead, and then we see the scar in this movie more over his right eye. So it's moved.
Yeah.
The injury has moved. Maybe that happens in Star Wars universes.
I mean, although it depends on how scars heal and develop. It's maybe been some time. Also, I love this tweet. Whoever directs episode 9 needs to move Kylo Ren's scar to different parts of his face in every scene. Because people are freaking out about this. He did respond. He said, it was my decision to slightly adjust it, and that was my justification. Oh, I should read the preceding tweet. So Ethan tweeted Rian Johnson, the director. He said, you seen the scar for 3 seconds in 7. You'll see it for the whole movie in 8. I'm betting they just liked it further to the right, close enough. And Rian Johnson responds, yep, it was my decision to adjust it. That was my justification. It honestly looked goofy running straight up the bridge of his nose.
Yeah.
So everyone's making a big deal about this, but besides, so we see Kylo Ren, we see, it is really Rey's trailer. Rey, don't be afraid. But I'm excited about it. What else do we get? I have no idea I still to this day have not seen the video. I have no idea what Forces of Destiny is, where I can see it, what the deal is. I just know it's animated and has female characters in Star Wars in it. That's all I know.
Yeah, they're animated shorts that will have prominent characters.
Airing where?
Not quite sure. I think they're just going to be like released on YouTube and StarWars.com.
There's a toy line to go with it. Not yet. Oh, wait, that's definitely a commercial. It'll be 2 to 3 minutes long. We'll feature major heroines of the Star Wars universe. Daisy Ridley is reprising the role of Rey. That's cool. Felicity Jones is Jin. Lupita Nyong'o is Maz. So they have the main stars. There's a toy line to be launched with it. Cool. I mean, they have adventure action figures that are 11 inches And it's going to be on Disney's YouTube account.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's take a look.
Many years, something that's been really important to Star Wars is these characters that little kids can grow up and recognize a little bit of themselves.
So with Forces of Destiny, there was an opportunity to tell some additional stories around these terrific characters from throughout the franchise.
Forces of Destiny, they're these almost bite-sized, short, self-contained adventures that take place in different time periods. It's very much a real part of Star Wars.
Well, we were very fortunate to have Daisy reprising her role as Rey.
BB-8, this way!
Felicity Jones as Jyn Erso.
I suggest you pick on someone your own size.
We have Lupita back as Maz.
It's a nice night for telling stories.
This new series of shorts just opens up a whole new realm of possibilities.
Okay, cool.
This summer, coming this summer. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
In summer! It looks like some Rebels and Clone Wars cast getting back in on the action there, too. I'm always paranoid of these things, making sure it's still recording. So that was a thing. What else? Celebration. I feel like this is all stuff that I missed. Oh, let's talk about the parks. Let's talk about Star Wars at Disney. Now, first of all, we did go to Disney Wednesday.
We did.
That was a bit. That was a big humdinger of a time.
It was.
Were you at?
It was a strange.
You
one
left
for me.
Early though. You went. You went to.
Well,
Magic Kingdom with us, but not Hollywood Studios, right?
Yeah, because I knew that I was going to be leaving sometime later in the afternoon to go to the Rebel Force radio party.
Yeah, how did that go?
I didn't go. What? Well, so so what happened was that we were going to meet at 9 when the park opened, but then
because I've been mercilessly trolling you about this, I've been mock offended. You're abandoning us, Bruce.
Well, hey, I was there 2 hours before you got there.
Yeah, true.
Because you had some people in your party that overslept a little and whatever. Whatever happened. But anyway, so that was strange because I'm walking. This is the I've been to the Magic Kingdom. I don't know how many times. I mean, I've lost count. At least a couple dozen times in my life. That's the first time I've ever been there by myself walking around. Like, I've always been with people.
Oh, really?
I've never been there by myself. And at one point I was like, this is really strange. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to being by myself, knowing that you guys are coming. So I rode some rides, and I never been on big Thunder Mountain Railroad because every time I've gone since that opened, my kids don't want to do it. Meryl's don't want it, whatever. So I did it. And then you guys showed up. And then you guys like, let's go do Big Thunder Mountain.
Well, let's be honest why. The fast pass situation was down.
Because you guys got there around 11, I think. By the time we started looking at the fast passes, fast passes were down. The system wasn't working.
You had to go to the kiosk, the apps, the system.
And
is
the
down.
Earliest.
The system is
by
down.
That time, the earliest time to get a fast pass was in the evening.
Ugh, yeah.
And so we did whatever in the park. And then around 2 o'clock or so, we headed out. You guys wanted to go to Hollywood Studios, which I would have loved to have done, but I didn't get a park hopper because I knew I'd have to leave soon.
Yeah.
Because I haven't done all of the Star Wars stuff that's been added to Hollywood Studios. So I don't have
that's right. You haven't been
that.
To Launch Bay or
I haven't done any of that yet. So, but I've been on the new Star Tours.
Okay. Yeah.
I have
done
that a couple times.
I mean, Launch Bay is the main thing and it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing compared to what the cranes that are like, you can see in the distance behind this. You're like, you can just like, oh, it's Star Wars is being built right now.
Yes. That's exciting. So I didn't go to the Rebel Force radio party because
our buddy Matt was coming.
Yeah, Matt Rushing was coming and others were coming. You know, a bunch of friends were coming in. I was like, well, I kind of want to see them this evening instead of going off to a party and then I have to wait to see them tomorrow. And I was still planning to go to the party. But then when I saw someone post on Facebook that they wanted a ticket, I was like, well, if he really wants to go.
Bruce, I'm so proud of you.
And I didn't make money at it. I sold it to him at face value.
Yes. No. So that actually worked out well. We did hang around a little bit. So we hung out at Magic Kingdom for a bit, and then we hauled our butts over to Hollywood Studios, which is sort of – everyone I feel like has their home park who are Disney people, I should specify. Not like – but pet peeve of mine, people who love Disney and go there all the time but just assume everyone else knows as much about it and like it as much as they do. I have to caveat, if you go to the parks a lot, most of those people have their favorite home park, and I've made a discovery. I do have one, and it's Hollywood Studios. And it's just because of all the memories I have over the last couple years of going down with friends and to Star Wars weekends and stuff like that. I just know the park like the back of my hand. Mm-hmm. And so there's a familiarity there. The better you know these parks, the more fun they are.
Yeah.
So it's like every time you go, instead of diminishing returns, like, oh, I've seen this before, I've found myself – there's less pressure to do something that you haven't done because you're like, oh, you've already done it. If you do it, great. If not, you're just enjoying hanging out. I love that. But also they have they have Launch Bay, which Bethany hasn't seen. She needed to experience that. Let me tell you guys. I have footage of this. I feel like, I'm going to take a second to – at some point in the coming weeks after Riley graduates and is done with finals, I will be cutting together – I have tons of really good footage of the entire experience. I'm going to be cutting together – I would call it a vlog. It's really going to be more of a mini documentary.
Ooh.
It's going to be awesome.
Is this the first official Star Wars Report documentary?
I mean, sure. Yes, it is. It is now.
Okay.
There were some jokes. No, anyway, there's three jokes that I wanted to make that I will not. So I have footage of this.
Yeah.
Bethany made new friends at the Launch Bay, at the cantina area they have set up there.
Yeah.
There's a Jawa who's very fond of her. She made a
There was a Jawa there that was fond of her.
Really good friends.
Okay.
Like really friendly.
Okay.
Like a little too friendly, if you ask me. Just like
did they think she was spare parts of a droid or something? Or
so depends on what Jawas do with spare parts. Anyway,
So they wanted. Okay. Anyway, forget it. Go on.
So no, Bethany was literally detained by a Jawa who took ownership of her, and was far like, oh, that's funny. Like Jawas, you know, they're known for like doing that. And like, wait a second, is this a joke about actual slavery? Like Star Wars universe, like the Jawas now claiming Bethany as his own property. I'm like, wait a second, when did this? What happened to Disney and the fun and the Jawas like. Like not letting her go anywhere. I was like, "What?"
These are like Disney employee
Jawas.
Yes,
this is the actual cast member.
Wow.
I'm sorry, a real Jawa.
Yes.
An actual real Jawa. No, Launch Bay's great because the cantina area, the Jawas are hilarious. They have bits that they do and interact with everybody. Mm-hmm. And they have troopers wandering around. We did the character meet and greets. That was fun. And they have, of course, all kinds of really great models and props and costumes on display. But that's it. It's like it's cool and it's really Star Warsy. But I know what's in store. I know what they're building. Oh, also, we went to the back of the – like if you go past – again, Disney nerdery here for you guys who haven't gone to the parks or aren't intimately familiar with. If you go to the back of Disney's Hollywood Studios, that's where they have the Toy Story ride.
Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, Toy Story Mania. Yeah. And if you go down that road – normally, it would loop around towards Star Tours and towards what used to be like the old Hollywood hotels thing. All of that's gone, and it's literally a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of that dead end, I was like, well, we should peek through the cracks to see, you know, like it's literally piles of dirt that are piled up high so that you could never really see what's going on. But I was like, I want to see the piles of dirt, man. And so me and my buddy Bailey, we were like, well, let's do it. So we went up to the crack. So like right up against this, just literally a wood wall that they had constructed. We peeked through and then when we looked, I got a tap on my shoulder and we looked over to the right. And there's literally just a sort of separated – The wall had one slightly forward and one slightly back so that there was this sort of gateway. And I was just assuming there would be a door and it would be locked. There was no door, and so therefore it definitely wasn't locked. So me and Bailey, I don't know if the Disney snipers are going to shoot me for this, definitely walked around and set foot. Barely set foot. I'm usually very good about following the rules, and I get really I'm very anxious to not cause a scene or get somebody mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I definitely poked my toes into the area that's technically being excavated to be the Star... I've touched Star Wars land.
Yes.
Like, not Star Wars land, just Star Wars land, like the dirt. So that's official. That's a thing.
One small step for Riley.
So like, yeah. A, totally true. B, my buddy Bay is like, dude, you got the DSLR. We should sprint to the top of the hill and take pictures. I'm like, do you want to get shot? No, I can't do that. So that was a thing. Although speaking of Disney, I want to cap off.
Which obviously we did not go to Galactic Nights Friday night.
Yeah, that's true. That was
tickets sold out before we even attempted to buy them.
Those things were so expensive.
And
too,
they are
man.
Expensive. I haven't heard much about that night.
Yeah, it was evidently really good. Like, they had – it's basically Star Wars weekends. So right. They had a big stage show and a bunch of stuff going on there and interviews, and then a bunch of big cast people showed up, and it was shut down. It was all Star Wars people. So it was – I mean, I heard good things, but I'm glad – there's only so much I could shell out for. Like, right. I'm glad I did not go to the 501st party.
Which
that
I
cost
did.
A bunch of money. I did not go to the – that cost a bunch of money. I didn't make it to the Drowning in Moonlight thing. It's just like I just kind of put all of those night events on the back burner, and I'm kind of glad I did. You did go to the 501st party, though.
I did. Yeah,
thumbs
it was
up.
Fun. Yeah.
Did you see the Twi'lek stripper pole?
I did. I actually have pictures in
video. I feel
video.
Like – that's a sentence I would have never expected to come out of me coming on this podcast, but there's no other way to put it. That's literally what those guys did.
It was. Well, yeah, they were just...
I mean, granted, stop. All right, get your minds out of the gutter, people. But seriously, like, they had, like, Cirque du Soleil-style dancing
Twi'leks.
Yeah,
they're, like, twisting and turning and somersaulting or whatever up on... Like,
I saw
high
this
up on
my
ceiling.
Instagram. I'm like, what on earth is going on?
Right.
Yeah.
And Weird Al Yankovic was there. He performed for about an hour.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say he was all over the poles and the clock.
He may have done that later.
That's a little bit later
that.
In the evening. But we did get an announcement about the Star Wars land. I figure it's pertinent since we talked about our Disney experiences. Star Wars Land at Disney Parks, the Orlando Informer actually has some updates here. We've seen some of the concept art. We've heard them talk about it. Riley has set foot and touched the dirt where they've excavated. But here, what's the deal here, Bruce? We've got new details, according to the Orlando Informer, that basically it's going to be hidden and separate from the rest of the park to be totally immersive to guests. Like Diagon Alley, kind of.
Yes, which you have never
I've
been
never
to.
I've never been,
Universal,
so I don't really
right?
know what that feels like.
Okay, so when you're at Universal Studios Park, the new Diagon Alley for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is in the back. And I remember when we first went, you know you're like getting in the area, but then you're like, where do you go? Like, I don't see Diagon Alley. I just see a few little Harry Potter things here. Where do you go?
Yeah.
And then you just kind of find like a wall that looks like you can walk around the wall. Like, what are there bathrooms back here or something? And as you kind of go through there, all of a sudden you're transported into this other world. All of a sudden you're there.
Nice.
It's hidden from the rest of the park. So when you're in Diagon Alley, you can't look out and see other parts of the park. You feel like you're actually there.
Nice.
And so that's the same here with Star Wars. It's like you'll go through some kind of door entranceway or whatever, and then as soon as you're in the Star Wars land, you're going to feel like you're on a Star Wars planet. You are not going to look out and see Hollywood studios.
Yeah, you're not
going to
see
you.
The Tower of Terror in the distance. Yeah. That's amazing. Like, and there are more details. Like, so there's basically this exotic marketplace where merchants can sell merchandise. I'm shocked.
Merchandise in a park?
Merchandise
what?
At a Disney park? Yeah. What? There will be a first
Riley
order.
Riley will be there buying.
All the exclusives. First order spaceport and a resistance ancient forest compound. Epic battle ride between. I wonder what a battle ride is. A battle ride between General Leia Organa's resistance and the Supreme Leader Snoke's Neo-Imperials. Neo-Imperials.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard that
term
used.
That's the first for me, too, yeah.
I wonder if that's just like a term the Orlando Sentinel's using or.
By the way, where is Star Tours and all this? It's not going to be in the land, is
no,
it?
No,
it's going to be outside of it.
If?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, because it won't be it won't be in the immersed area.
Right.
Unless they just move the whole ride. I guess they could do that. But
I think it'll be right outside of that.
I think it'll just stay where it is. And then, the battle ride. That's kind of cool. If that's like an interactive way to kind of fight your friends in universe, that'd be kind of cool. And there will be references to episodes 7, 8, and 9. Because of course this
nine
this episode
nine really
mm-hmm.
why
wait what. I'm totally not getting it. You're signaling me to do a bit,
I'm
and I don't know what the bit is.
No, it's not a
I
bit.
I lost the bit.
You were almost about to say what I wanted you to say, is because this is going to open out around like just shortly after episode 9 comes out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we will see
some
episode 9 within the park because the movie will be out by then.
I can't even wrap my mind around that. Wait, is it not open before episode – why was I thinking it's like next year?
According to that article, it was – because – isn't it 20? It's in 2019, right?
I don't see it here. It's not listed here in the notes.
I think it's
but,
opening in 2019.
Which I guess is, yeah, I guess it's 2017, so.
Yeah, in 2 years.
So maybe it's opening the same year, hopefully the same year. Don't make us wait till 2020.
No, it's going to open the same year as the episode 9.
Which maybe episode 9's a May release, maybe?
Possibly.
Who knows? We got the battle ride. We got, of course, the Millennium Falcon ride. That's a given. Everyone knows about that. That'd be pretty cool. Now, of course, here's what we don't know. The cantina. I swear, there better be a cantina.
Oh, there will be.
And it better be the Mos Eisley cantina.
I can't guarantee that.
No. If it's like a cantina that's close enough and you can order freaking blue milk and
I think it's gonna be close
some
enough.
Fat dude says, hey, we don't serve their kind here, then I'll be good.
Well, no, because they're going to have an alien cook with a fish head.
There'll be lots of – wait, it's unknown – oh, it's – so okay, so you pulled something from the piece where it's unknown if the cantina will table. I misread the sentence. I was like, it's unknown if there will be a cantina.
No, it'll be a cantina. We just don't know if it's table serve or counter serve.
An audio animatronic alien cook with a fish head will be prominent? That's really detailed. Like, at this stage, they know what the host is going to be like. Who knows? That's not the only thing. That's some cool updates, man. I didn't realize that we had new stuff on the Star Wars land. But here's the other thing. It is Disney. Mm-hmm. So there is a premium experience.
Yes.
Which you can shell out a few Republic credits for. There's going to be an all-inclusive two-night immersive resort experience.
Well, let me just clarify, okay. It's something that's being considered.
Considered.
Well, so,
let's explore what they're considering.
They're surveying guests at Disney, I guess in some of the hotels and stuff, and exploring this idea.
Is it like the little card where you say, would you be interested in this, like a feedback card or something
maybe.
Like that?
Maybe. I don't know.
The opportunity to experience a two-day story set in the Star Wars universe to be surrounded by a continuous story-driven entertainment experience. Is this like a two-day escape room?
This is a two – yes, exactly.
Dude, I'm –
well, wait.
I'm sold.
Read the price too.
Oh, all right. Actually,
I think it's $1,000 per person.
All right. Have personal interactions with Star Wars characters, live performers throughout the starship. Experience the story, or simply observe the action according to personal preference. Engage with the story programs such as flight training, ship exploration, lightsaber training, personalized secret missions on both the starship, your resort, I'm assuming, and throughout the Star Wars themed planet. You got all-inclusive meals, buffet breakfast, lunch, signature, featured entertainment, dinner shows, exclusive park admission. It's all there for the lowly price of $900 to $1,000 per guest.
Yes, apparently. And so we have some pictures, too.
That's honestly less than I thought they would be asking for. If you gave me that pitch and told me it was Disney, I would expect $2,000.
Yeah, but I think they know that it would...
People would pay that. Absolutely, man.
Yeah. I don't. And again, none of this is confirmed. I mean, this is all.
Yeah, this is all being, rumor and speculation.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of this. It's all. None of it's real. It's not real.
It's being considered. The price may change. Who knows?
Yeah.
The experience may change. It's all something that Disney is considering and talking to people about to see if there's interest.
I mean, if I had the money, I'd do it. Like, if I had the money.
I would do it. I have the money, but I don't want to do it with my whole family because then it costs a whole lot more.
Yeah. Well, and it's really designed – this would be designed for like hardcore Star Wars people. I don't know if this would be well designed for like a family vacation.
Right.
I don't know that people would enjoy it because like people – listen. Can I be honest?
Yes,
families
please.
Fight at Disney. Like that's the thing.
At Disney?
Yes. Yes.
The maybe. Blantons fight at Disney.
No,
that's what I just heard.
We all get along.
You said families fight at Disney, except for the Blanton
except
family.
For us, of course. No, seriously, like people, I don't get it. But like, especially, I'm trying really hard to think of ways to do this without being specific. And I was like, every story I was about to
tell.
They
bicker. Maybe they don't always fight. I don't know.
Well, it's a stressful environment. If you're trying to hit the park and you're trying to get there when it opens and close it down and the kids are feisty and you missed your ride and you didn't get your fast pass. Oh, and the drinks are twice as much as they should. Like, if you're just hanging with friends and more chill, that's usually – that's at least what I've observed.
Yeah, because we haven't fought yet.
Well, I mean, Bruce and I do all the time, but that's because we're basically an old married couple.
You're worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Now, Bruce told me a story before the show that he needs to say for the 602 Club. So I'm going to let you do that, sir. That's the first thing I'm going to say out the gate of this segment. But I do feel like we can't just keep skipping Boba's Bounty. It's like the abandoned segment of the Star Wars Report.
That's true. Since you teased the 602 Club,
okay.
we are reviewing the book Thrawn. So if anybody's interested,
oh, cool.
in a week or two,
yeah,
look
Thrawn.
For an episode.
That's the new book by, what's his name, Timothy Zahn, right?
Yes.
Oh.
The creator of Thrawn.
Yeah, no, like he's pretty well known in the Star Wars community. You know, I heard that he was at Celebration.
He was.
Yeah, yeah, no, like we stopped by the, not only did I hear it, I stopped by like on Saturday, the Del Rey booth. We got to see Arish and the guys there. It was great. And he was actually signing at the time.
Yep.
There's a big old fat sign right there at the booth that just said, you know, the Thrawn book sold out.
Yes. They were selling out. They would have like 50 to 75 a day, and they would be gone with like within 30 minutes.
It'd really
so.
Suck if you like people waited in line and stuff and didn't get it. Like, anyway, guys, listen to the 602 Club. Let's see, the Boba's Bounty. We had some Star Warsy stuff happen to us since we last did this segment a little bit. I want to highlight. Usually, we try to make it what the personal experiences are. For me, there's so much that happened at Celebration. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. Wrap my mind around it all. There's You got anything, Bruce? What? Riley's reaching. I'm trying to think of like an appropriate Boba's Bounty moment.
Well.
Because there's so
many
issues.
We've talked about so much stuff.
I know. It's like we've covered almost everything.
I guess for me, real quick, now I'm thinking about it, because you were talking about Timothy Zahn, I did get to spend some time talking to John Jackson Miller.
Oh, cool.
Also a Star Wars writer, but also a Star Trek writer. And since I do a Star Trek book show, and he's been on our show a few times.
Oh, nice.
We were just catching up on some things, and he was actually showing off his Star Trek Prey novel. Well, it was three novels that were released last fall. So he's at it.
Oh, cool.
He said, you know, I don't know if I should be showing this at a Star Wars convention, but it is his latest work as a Star Trek novel. So.
Nice. That's awesome. You know what? I'll use mine, because the one thing we kind of didn't get a chance to talk about, and I'm going to say watching that episode of Star Wars Rebels at the Rebels premiere.
Yeah, we didn't talk much about
we
that
we didn't really
at
talk
all.
Much Rebels. Like the there are a bunch of takeaways. The big thing is it's the last season, which is like, oh, everyone's bummed out except me. I'm like, if that means that they have like a specific story to tell and a through line that's engaging and interesting, and we don't like the middle half, like if you were to take half of the season right in the middle, just wandered and wavered a lot. I'm all about this. I'm very excited.
Me too. I'm all about any TV series that I like, knowing when it has an ending, because then the writers can write to that.
Yeah.
And it makes it better.
Yeah. No, there's like, yeah, you've got the train tracks to the finish line, and to mix metaphors.
And
there.
It was revealed, too, that Dave said that there is another animated
They are
series.
Working on another project. They didn't say what it was. I'm wondering if it's going to be Disney Channel. I'm also waiting for the live action television. Come on, guys. It's
eventually that will happen. We just don't.
Although I don't really. ABC is the most obvious choice. I kind of don't want it to be ABC.
It may be that or like, Netflix. Because they do have a deal with Netflix.
Yes, Netflix. Yes, please, Netflix. Like, we've all seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It did not.
Is that still on?
It's still on. Let's not have the Star Wars version.
I hear
of
it's gotten better, but I gave up on it. So
I did too.
Like at the beginning of season two. Yeah. Maybe one day.
I made it barely through the first season. Anyway, but for me, I do want to say that we saw an episode. I obviously can't say anything about it other than to say that there was some real emotional weight to it and some real consequences and some real characters that affected the overall story of Star Wars and building the Rebellion, which is kind of all I ask of Star Wars Rebels and didn't deliver in a lot of points in season three. So I'm excited, but also, that was a thing. We went to the press conference. We didn't really do press stuff this time. We didn't get any interviews or anything like that. So we just literally went to the press conference, Bethany and I. I know you were off to another panel, like the Rogue One one, I believe. They did Rogue One behind the scenes, but
is that what it was, I don't even remember.
I mean, there's nothing they can say. Like literally, it was just awesome. Well, no, Dave kind of revealed Well, not really revealed. He waxed eloquent for like 10 minutes on storytelling and learning from George Lucas and stuff. It was,
yeah.
And that was really cool. But otherwise, it was that was pretty much it. So there you go. That would be my Boba's bounty. I feel like, guys, right? He said, Riley said, hunting for his audio. It's about that time. It's about time for the Farm Boy outro, which is, you know what's kind of, oh, what's funny? Oh, what's funny, Bruce, is that the awesome features of iCloud is that like any large files, I've put so many photos and stuff. It's like anything that you haven't touched in a while.
Yeah.
It just automatically puts on the cloud and doesn't put on your desk spot, which is why it took that long to load.
Oh, right.
The music. Hey, that actually kind of works. I kind of like this manual playing from the speaker. Hey guys, that's an episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 278? Yeah, 278 is in the can. Thank you so much for tuning in. It was our haphazard recap of Star Wars Celebration Orlando. Thank you so much for joining us. Here's what you need to do. Go watch the trailer a few more times. Go catch up on all the panels. That's what we need to do, all the ones we missed.
Yes.
Haven't
seen it all.
I know, there's so much to talk about. We'll be back next week with the one and only Mark Herleman, who will be returning with us, and we'll be talking more Star Wars, probably more of the fallout from Celebration, and where's the scar? That's going to have to be a thing. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at Admiral_Rex for Bruce, at the Riley Guy for me. And same thing applies to to Instagram, Snapchat, all that stuff. I'm posting a lot on Instagram because I have all these great photos that I took and just would take the photo and something would be happening. I didn't have time to post it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Instagram.
Yes. So I'm going back and posting a lot. It's at the Riley Guy or at Admiral Rex on Instagram for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Take out that.
It's a long story. It's a long, yeah.
Take out the underscore.
For the Insta. What else? What else? Big thanks to everyone, seriously, who showed up to the show, supported us, packed the room at Celebration, everyone who showed up to the dinner. It means the world. And everyone who's listening and just supporting us in one way or to other, seriously, guys, thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. Couldn't be doing it without you. So, also, email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We've had actually quite a few emails. I didn't have time to get to them this week, but we will in the near future. A lot of folks who... actually, we saw the show in person and emailed us. It was kind of weird because we got like delayed feedback of people at the show, but then they would hear us talk and we're getting feedback. But they're at the show.
Oh, yeah.
But we were all heading to the closing ceremonies. We could have done like a live another show for feedback and stuff like that. Email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. The website is StarWarsReport.com. Make sure you go to Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Give us a like, and we'll be posting videos and photos to all those channels from Celebration in the coming weeks as well. So stay tuned. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I have one thing to say to you. May the Force be with you. And I hit the wrong button. There it is. There it is. A little awkward delay there, but that's it. Hey, Bruce.
Yeah.
Also, something else happened.
What?
Minnie Boffins died. To bring you this podcast... That's like a nice... It's like Meryl. There's no crowd in here anymore. It's just us, Bruce. It's literally just us sitting in your basement. This is just bringing me back to actually hearing this performed live. Which, by the way, yeah, big shout-outs to High Adventure, too. And all the other people I probably forgot to shout out. High Adventure. Go buy their CDs. They're great. We'll see you guys later. Until next time. Yeah. That's a show.
Yeah.
It is. This is a lot more different. This is a lot smaller scale than doing it in front of an audience.
You know,
we're just sitting here.
I'm more comfortable sitting here than I was.
We do
there.
Have a couch. Let's be honest. It's a little bit better. How great also was Steele and Anthony Bresnikan too.
I think it's great that they volunteered to be a part of this little show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, was that a Actually, I was going to say, was that an insult? No, actually, I agree with you 100%. No, that's 100% true.
Because they know this is a little big show.
It's a little show with a big heart.
That's right.
We'll see you guys later.